All right, let me take care of some business. Doug remains on vacation. Back with us next week. Mrs. Know-It-All, Denise Schreiber, is waiting in the wings to answer all of your gardening questions. So if you have one, I highly urge you to call 866-391-1020. Meantime, Doug wanted me to handle this for him. You can join him at Sorgel's Garden Center in Wexford for the 22nd annual Doug Oster Plant Swap and Gardening Hullabaloo on June 2nd, 2024 at 1 p.m., so a week away. For 22 years, they've been getting together to trade plants, and it's so much fun. It's a place for gardeners to trade with each other, bring divisions of your garden to swap. Be sure plants are labeled, and please don't bring any invasives. Also, lots of Limbaugh Legacy potato top tomato plants to be passed out as well. So be there at 1 o'clock at Sorgel. Speaking of Sorgel's, if you're the 10th caller right now, you'll win yourself a $25 gift certificate to Sorgel's. And that number to dial is 412-922-1020. So rain, maybe go away and just too many weeds and kind of interfering with our gardening as the month of May is winding down this holiday weekend. So what do you make of all of this rain? Good morning, Denise.
Good morning. I'm kind of done with the rain, but actually we did need some rain. Things were starting to wilt and, we've got, shrubs planted, trees planted. They need that water. So it's okay. We don't need a week of rain. It's just like, and it makes the weeds easier to pull. The problem is they've been growing so prolifically that you saw my plants, I'm like, oh my God, no.
if some people actually started planting stuff that they should have waited, especially those first-time gardeners that are kind of eager, the warm weather has been a friend to them, has it not?
It has, but I have to tell you that I can remember one Memorial Day weekend that our temperatures dropped to 28 degrees and killed a bunch of newly planted trees. So, if you can go out and protect your plants, I go to house sales and I buy blankets and sheets. Kind of looks like a horror movie when it happens, but I protect my plants that way. And it's not a bad idea for them to do it either.
All right. Again, if you have a question for Denise about your gardening, give us a call, 866-391-1020. You want to talk about fuchsia a little bit because Mother's Day, obviously that's a plant, caring for it. So let's just kind of dabble in that a little bit. Then we'll take a break and get some of these calls on the air. Go ahead.
So, it looks wonderful. And then after a few weeks, people make a lot of mistakes with them. And they're a pretty easy plant to care for. They put them in full sun, on their porch or wherever. And they're actually a plant that likes mostly shade. Protection from the hot afternoon sun is what they really need. And then, after a few weeks, the flowers start to fade and fall off. And then you just have this plant that's green, with nothing going on. So what people need to realize is they need to get their pruners out and snip off all the dead flowers and seed heads and make sure they keep it watered and fertilized. And they're going to have another flush of blooms. They're just forced for Mother's Day, to say, "Ooh, let me take this over to Mom's house this afternoon." So that's the best way to do it. If they're an easy to care for plant, as long as you keep them watered, fertilized, and out of the hot sun. That's the key right there. Just give them a haircut. You can do that with any plant. Give them a haircut or, like geranium, snap off the flower stem, and they'll just keep, pushing out blooms all summer long.
All right, Denise Schreiber is here. Our phone number to get all of your questions answered, 866-391-1020. We were talking earlier today about the price of food in the first hour of my broadcast. Doug and I and you, big proponents of the community food bank. There are people that need food. But, one of the things we were discussing, some of my listeners earlier today, was, growing up in a generation as you, me, and Doug did, when people grew food in the garden, wasn't so much about a hobby, but it was actually to save a little bit of money and to take care of the family. And I said, listen, if you really want to save a little bit of money, there are certain things that are easy to grow that are great substance and your family's going to love, and it'll keep them healthy, and it's always fresh to be able to go out in the garden. And I was talking about beans and, you know, carrots and lettuce and onions and things of that nature. So first-time gardeners, or maybe some people listening that want to save a few bucks on their grocery bill, what are some of the good things to plant that are hearty, delicious, nutritious, that are just in their backyard in their garden, Denise?
Well, you know, actually, you did mention some of them, you know, the beans, is, you know, once they start producing, you keep picking them, they just get, you know, you can be overrun with beans. Another one is, you know, kind of the gardening joke is zucchini. You know, you put one plant in and it'll feed a family of four. You put two in, you give it to your neighbors. After that, you take bags of it into your coworkers and they say, oh, I can't take it. My son's allergic. We're going on vacation, that sort of thing. But, you know, zucchini is a really versatile vegetable, you know, and everything from, you know, zucchini parmesan to zucchini breads and beyond that. Tomatoes, peppers, carrots, you've got to make sure your soil is really loose with it, you know, and, you know, you can seed it and then you're going to pull it up, you know, you send it out. Radishes, beets, you know, you plant them early and just start, you know, pricking out to send them out and do that. Tomatoes, obviously. You know, they're like the mainstay of my diet. Come as soon as they start producing, it's like, ooh, tomato salad. You know, what else can we do with it? And, you know, then they can do succession planting. And then, you know, they can have, like, broccoli. They can keep harvesting that. And there's newer broccolis that you can actually, it's not a tight head. It's kind of open and loose. But what's nice about that, if it's a person who lives by themselves in gardens, they can just simply cut some of that and have it for dinner, you know, and then they can just keep harvesting off that plant. You know, it's very easy. I mean, I grew up, you know, having a garden and canning, you know, and I still do a lot of canning. My dad died when I was very young. And there were times that there really wasn't enough food. And, you know, I had a younger brother who had some health issues. So I know what it's kind of like not to, you know, have a lot of food on the table. So every year on my birthday, I have a fundraiser on Facebook to go, you know, everything raised goes to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. Because back then they really didn't have food banks. So if we didn't have what we canned, there really wasn't anything to eat. You know, people don't think about that. But, you know, back then there weren't the services and, you know, places like the food bank to help serve the community. So I always encourage people to contribute to that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have an abundance, hey, give it to your neighbor. There's always someone that will say yes, as opposed to we've got more than we need. So plenty of ways to take that garden and turn it into something that really benefits your home, obviously, and your community. All right, first-time gardeners as well. This is a great opportunity to talk to one of the best in the business. Anything that is on your mind, hey, we're getting into the height of that season. Obviously, now that Memorial Day is here and the start of summer is underway. So if you have any questions for Denise, the organic gardener is off today. Doug, he's on vacation. He'll be back in the air chair next weekend. But in the meantime, we're going to get a break in here and we're going to open those phone lines up. So come one, come all. You have a chance to talk to Denise Schreiber right now. Mrs. Know-It-All, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. All right, back with your Pratt Pack. Doug on vacation. Mrs. Know-It-All, Denise Schreiber hosting today. So get those gardening questions in while you can. The real estate will fill up quickly on the phone lines. 866-391-1020. Here's Bill up first for Denise Schreiber, Mrs. Know-It-All. Bill, what's on your mind? Good morning. Hello, Bill.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hey, I'd like to know how to get goldenrod and milkweed started.
Okay. So there are different goldenrods. So there's one called Fireworks. It's not invasive. It's short the first year. And then the next year, it's probably about 2.5 to 3 foot tall. and it's great. And like I said, it's not invasive, so that's something you don't have to worry about. I have it in my garden. It's a great pollinator plant, and, you know, it's going to be blooming later in the season. And then you wanted milkweed, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So milkweed tends to like a pretty moist soil, not a soggy soil. As far as those, you can buy the seeds, milkweed, or you can actually buy the plant. And depending on your preference, you can do either one. And there are several types of milkweed. And, you know, you can pick any one and plant them. But they do like full sun, but they do like a moist area. So just keep that in mind. Or, you know, unless you can be out there watering. Now, once they're established, you should be fine. And the only thing you need to do is do a little weeding.
Okay. Did you say Fireworks is the name of the goldenrod?
Yes, that's correct. Okay. Fireworks.
Yeah. Well, we did last year. We went out and got seeds, you know, along the road and all that, and try to plant them. And it don't really seem like anything's coming up, so I'll try what you're saying.
Yeah. When you're trying, you know, plants like that sometimes need a couple of seasons to actually germinate. So that's why you can buy them better off.
All right, Bill, thanks for the call. So we got some people out there listening saying, this is my year. Easy peasy, stuff to put in that will grow. And the other thing, your eyes, not too big for your stomach. You don't want people to get disappointed because it turns into too much work or get so much failure. Give me some of the rules of the road, Mrs. Know-It-All.
Well, oh, clock just flew by. you know, there are easy plants. You know, now if you want to do annuals, one of my favorites is, it's called Snow Princess Alyssum, and it's a great plant. You know, once you plant it, it just fills the area. It's non-invasive. It won't reseed, but it's a great, and it's also a great pollinator plant. Geraniums are actually pretty easy. I know people are like, oh, my geraniums are not doing good. So the one thing with geraniums is when the flower is on its way south, is just follow the stem all the way to the base of the plant and snap it off. It'll actually, it'll leave like a little horseshoe. And it'll just keep pushing up blooms all the time. Another one are zinnias. They're the old-fashioned ones. Now they do get some powdery mildew periodically, but they do very well if they have good air circulation. They make a great cut flower because you can cut them and they'll just send up more blooms. And then there's the what they call the profusion, and they're a mounding type zinnia. The deer don't eat them, you know. Nobody has deer problems around here, I'm sure. And it mounds. You don't have to deadhead them, and they'll bloom all summer. And they'll even, I've had them go as far as Halloween, actually. There's all kind of colors. You know, there's pink, there's white, there's orange, there's red, there's doubles. And another plant are vinca, not the vine, as, you know, people use, but the actual plant, it's Cataranthus. And it mounds, it takes full sun, the deer don't eat it. You know, I watch a deer walk down the street all the time, and I plant this, and they never touch anything. And I don't know anybody else. So, they're really easy plants to grow. Now, as far as a perennial, any number of the salvias, there's annual salvias and there's perennial salvias. And it's a great plant. You know, blooms all summer. No, I shouldn't say all summer, but you'll get about a month and a half of blooms there. There's also catmint. There's phlox. Now, there's the creeping phlox that people see, and it's already bloomed. Now, in my garden, I have the upright phlox, and there's one called David, and David's actually fragrant. And then there's other ones, and they keep blooming. There's one called Stokesia, and it has, like, purple blue blooms. and it's low, it's mown, it comes back every year. Pretty much you plant it, water it, and forget it. In fact, I actually have to go separate mine because all the rain has really encouraged it. And then as far as shade, unfortunately, hosta is a favorite of the deer. But, you know, using one of the deer repellents as it starts to come up, that's when you start spraying it, and they're usually fine. And there's all kinds. I have one called Empress Wu. And then there's a companion plant called Woo La La. And these hosta are huge. So if you have a nice big shady area that you want to fill with a plant and really not worry about it, those are the plants to put in there. As far as vines, there's clematis. And they come in different colors. They bloom at different times. You know, you can look on the label when you get them, and they're great. Mine are blooming right now. And then the name is Thumbelina. I can't remember the botanical name for it, and it will actually tolerate partial shade as well. Now, clematis is a perennial. The Thumbelina is an annual, but it grows very well. And then I have ones for my containers. And Dichondra is a good one, and it's called Silver Falls. And it literally, as it grows during the summer, looks like a silver waterfall, you know, and coming out of a container. So I really like that. And, you know, the other ones are, you know, put some herbs in. You know, they're pretty easy, you know, parsley, and you can, I grow mine on my deck so I can just walk out the door and harvest it. So, you know, I go out there. And I've got my basil out there. I have my parsley out there. My thyme is actually on a retaining wall because it really likes that dry area. And then I have some peppers out on the deck, too.
You never can go wrong with peppers. They can be used for so many delicious dishes. Okay, Mrs. Know-It-All, good stuff. We're going to get to Claire. She wants to talk a little tomatoes. She's out of Murraysville today. And we've got room for all of you out there who want to talk to Denny Schreiber, who's pinch hitting today for Doug, who's on vacation. Doug back next week. And, of course, our number is 866-391-1020. It is your Pratt Pack, and it is a holiday weekend, the Sunday edition. And next hour, it's all about those picnic recipes on the Coons Cooking Hour with your chef du jour on duty, Frank Dentisi. Rob Taylor coming up next with that local news at 7:30, just minutes away on KDKA. Good morning. All right, don't forget, they're opening at 8 today. Open every day at 8 out there at Janoski's. Get a jump start on all of your planting and gardening needs for this holiday weekend and moving into the summer. But in the meantime, if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you're going to win a $25 gift certificate from that family that is the Janoski family at Janoski's in Clinton. 10th caller wins it, 412-922-1020. Any questions for Denise Schreiber, Mrs. Know-It-All, in today for the vacationing Doug Oster, give us a call, 866-391-1020. Here's Claire, as promised, wanting to talk tomatoes in Murraysville. Hey, Claire, good morning.
Hi, Claire. Morning. Hi.
Hi.
Quick question, please. I have tomatoes growing in raised beds, and was wondering what you've thought of or if you've ever had experience with the tall net coverings that have a zipper opening in them to protect vegetables from critters.
I have no experience with them, but what kind of critters are you talking? Deer, groundhogs, bunnies?
Everything. Deer, rabbits, everything. I've tried repellents in the past, and I've put stakes in the raised beds with chicken wire around just to kind of protect them. And that works, but it's sharp, and you have to take it apart when you're trying to water or pick your tomatoes or weed. And I was just thinking of, I saw online where you can buy the large, like these 4-foot-tall nets on a wire frame that fit inside the bed, and they have a zipper that you can get to, which makes it quite easy to get into water or tend to your items. And I was just wondering if you had any experience with those or what your opinion of those was.
Probably expensive would be my first thought. All those things right. are. you might want to try one and see how it works.
Works, right. You know,
there are the cages that you can buy for your tomatoes. And what you could do there is, you know, put them around, you know, your tomatoes. And then if you want, you could possibly just wrap them with a little netting rather than, and that way you're still able to water and weed. Now, when you're talking a raised bed, are you talking ones like those metal ones that you can purchase?
This is a cedar bed. It's 3 by 6 feet. Comes off the ground about 2.5 feet.
Okay. Yeah, because I have raised beds, but mine look more like graves. I don't, you know, it's just I have the soil mounded that way.
Yes.
So I would try the tomato cages and have them wrapped. And, you know, all you really need to do is attach it to the cage, not the tomatoes. And that way, when you go to harvest them, you could lift them up and harvest your tomatoes, or you could just leave one side that you can reach in, and, you know, you don't have to make it, you know, a big opening, but, you know, you would be able to put your hand in and actually harvest your tomatoes.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of repellent would you recommend for a person who sometimes doesn't get there every week to put it on? Like, is there any spray that is safe for vegetables that hangs around a little longer, or
I can't say. I would have to see the label for you know, the repellent. Most of them are, you probably don't want to put it on the fruit, but, you know, putting it on leaves would be fine. And the, you know, the deer, the groundhog, you know, I'm pretty sure the bunnies aren't jumping up there, you know, can actually, you know, get, they know that that smell or that taste, you know, is not something they want to eat. So I would recommend alternating any of them. Now, there's one I like to use, and it's called hot pepper wax. You only want to put it on the foliage, but I guarantee you they won't be back after that. You know, it's literally, I think, liquid ghost pepper or something ridiculous like that. Just make sure you wear gloves and have sunglasses on, at least, you know, in case the wind kicks up. You don't want it in your eyes. And then I would alternate it with, you know, liquid scents. My girlfriend's having real good luck with something called Deer Off. She bought it off of Amazon, and she lives in a heavy deer-populated area. They have not touched her lilies, which every year they have, you know, gone in and gotten them, and she's gotten no blooms. So, you know, that's something you might want to try. You know, there's Bobex. You know, there's any number of repellents. The organic ones sometimes have, like, mint or peppermint in them. But, again, read the label to see if it's safe to put on vegetables. You know, I hope that helps. Sorry.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
All right.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. Let's go to Lauren wants to talk raspberries with Mrs. Know-It-All today on KDK. Oh. Go ahead, Lauren.
Good morning. Yes, I have some red raspberries that are growing up underneath my steps on my deck. Some bird probably deposited that last year.
Uh-huh.
And it's taken over my walkway. And I was wondering, when's the best time to, A, is it even worth transplanting them or even trying to move them somewhere?
No, just take them out, you know, because, you know, whatever bird left it there for you, you know, it's probably doesn't have its disease resistance. You know, it's like hybrids. You know, the first year is good, but as you keep going on, it changes a little bit. Just dig them out, and, you know, if there's a way to block it that the birds can't get under there and put anything else there for you, and then just buy, you know, there's any number of raspberries, whether you want, you know, the ones that are early or the ones that will produce all summer long.
Okay. Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Blueberries. I lost, I had 3 blueberry bushes last year, and I've lost all 3. And I was just wondering, in this zone, is there something that may be better to plant in our area, climate.
The blueberries should have been fine. You know, they're hardy. Your soil pH is the important part for blueberries. You know, most plants like 6.8 to 7.2, that's kind of the range that most plants will do well in. Raspberries like 4.5. And so you really have to amend the soil with it, you know, and then, you know, keep them watered. Last year was really hot, and you don't get a lot of pollination when it's really hot. You know, the bees are like, I'm not going to work. I'm going to stay home today.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, like the rest of us, let's just stay home. And so I'm not sure why you lost all three of your blueberry plants.
The one was in a pot on my desk, top on the deck. It was called Top Hat. And then the other two were taller blueberries, and they were out in the back, and none of them made it.
Okay. So when you plant fruit bushes, water is critical for the first year. And, you know, so you've really got to go out. I see people and they take the hose and they just kind of go back and forth. I call that magic wand watering. You know, what you really want to do is get the water into the root. You know, so deep watering for them is critical. The one on your deck, you might have needed a bigger pot.
You know,
a bigger pot that has drainage, but a bigger pot. You know, it's almost like a gift plant. They come that way, but they actually need a bigger pot. So you want to go maybe two inches wider than the raspberry pot, you know, and then try that. Use a good potting mix and make sure you keep it fertilized with, you know, like Hollytone. Hollytone's really good for fruit bushes. And they also have they have Espoma for fruit. But Hollytone is an acid, so that will help.
Okay, great. Very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, good luck.
All right, we got more with Mrs. Know-It-All after the break. Got to remind you again, Doug at Sorgel's Garden Center, Wexford, 22nd Annual Doug Oster Plant Swap and Gardening Hullabaloo, happening next weekend, June 2nd at 1 p.m. For 22 years, been getting together to trade plants. So much fun, so much excitement. You don't want to miss it. Place for gardeners to trade with each other. Bring the vision from your garden to swap. Be sure the plants are labeled, and please don't bring any invasives. Also, lots of Limbaugh Legacy potato top tomato plants to be passed out while the supplies last. One plant of each per family, please. Be there at 1 o'clock. It's crazy. It's wild. You don't want to miss it. Favorite picnic food next hour on the Coons Cooking Hour with your chef on duty, Frank Dentisi. And then it is Dr. Bridget Schufo will be here helping you get into that swimsuit this summer season. And then Accurate Solutions and then the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. Mitch Keller, strong pitching performance. Pirates win again. Lots to get to today on KDKA. All right, time is running out with Mr. Know-It-All. So if you want to jump in here, now's the time. 866-391-1020. Here's Lonnie in Apollo. Lonnie, you're on KDKA.
Yes. Hi, Denise. This isn't a gardening question. This is a house plant. I've had this probably for 70 years. It's a Hoya.
Uh-huh.
And, a cutting from my aunt back in the 50s. And it doesn't bloom hardly ever. What am I doing to make it bloom?
So they like really bright light. They don't want to be outside in the sun, but they like bright light. So if you have a window that you can put it by, that would be great. It's great that you have a Hoya for 50 years because they're actually one of the more difficult houseplants to grow. And getting it to flower, I'm impressed that you've gotten it to flower, really, really. Yeah, so you can use a little houseplant food, you know, something granular that's a slow release. You know, you can buy it at any garden center. But get one for houseplants, and I wouldn't over-fertilize it. I would fertilize it after it's done blooming, actually, and let it take those nutrients in. But
I'm, like I said, I'm truly impressed that you've had one that long.
I used to crawl up on a fainting couch and smell my grandmother's, and it had the little droplets of liquid, you know, water. And then my aunt, I just got this. Yeah, it has to be over 70 years old. So, but it only blooms maybe once every couple years.
Yeah, like I said, you know, they're not a frequent bloomer to begin with. But like I said, I'm impressed. I had one in the greenhouse when I was working, and it only bloomed once for us in 6 years. So,
yeah,
you know, kudos to you.
That's the nature then. Okay, I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, Lonnie, good stuff. Well, Mrs. Know-It-All, it's come to that time that we have to say goodbye, but thank you for what you've done the last 2 weeks. There's no one better, and the callers always respond, so I hope you have a great rest of your holiday weekend, okay?
It's my anniversary this weekend, so.
So what's the special plans for the, and how many, can I ask?
It's 54 years, actually, and a little bit of trivia.
Okay.
My husband picked the wedding day, and it was Memorial Day in 1970, and he's like, this way I will never forget our anniversary. And the next year, they changed it to the Monday holiday.
Well, you're so special. They wanted to make sure you got that day all to yourself. All right. Listen,
yeah.
Keep up the great work. We appreciate you, and have a wonderful and happy anniversary to you and your hubby, okay?
Oh, thanks. Have a good weekend.
All right. Good stuff, Mrs. Know-It-All. Doug will be back with us next week. Don't forget the plan swap next week, June 2nd, 1 o'clock. Be there at Sorgel's. Frankie is here. We're getting ready to cook up your favorite picnic recipe. So if you have one and you want to share it with us, let's break out the Barbie and get going. A little shrimp on the Barbie, some hamburgers and hot dogs, potato salad. Oh, my. Fresh watermelon. There's nothing like that first big picnic weekend of the summer season. Rob Taylor coming up next with that news. Stay with us. It's your Pratt Pack. Happy holiday weekend. Good morning.